Okay, so get ready for this. Today, we are diving deep into the Beatitudes.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not just skimming the surface here.
Right.
This deep dive goes, it goes way deeper into some seriously challenging stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like how persecution can actually be a blessing.
Yeah.
And what it really means for us to be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that Sermon on the Mount stuff.
That's right. That's right.
And to kick things off.
Okay.
This lecture hits us with a pretty stark statistic.
Okay.
Over 45 million Christians martyred in the 20th century alone.
Wow. Yeah, that definitely sets the stage for a conversation about the maybe not so glamorous side of following Jesus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Not exactly like the feel-good Sunday school version, right?
No, not at all.
So let's jump right into this idea of persecution as a blessing.
Okay. Yeah.
The lecturer throws down that quote from the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." What struck you about how he unpacked that?
Well, you know, he really emphasized that this isn't about being persecuted for our own mistakes.
Right.
Or just being a difficult person. You know?
Right.
It's not about that.
Yeah.
This is specifically about facing pushback because we are following Jesus and trying to live righteously.
Okay.
And he actually even threw in a little Princess Bride quote here.
Oh, nice.
"Life is pain. Anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something."
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't argue with Wesley on that one.
No, that's true.
But on a serious note,
yeah,
he's saying that persecution doesn't always look like some dramatic in-your-face confrontation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It can be much more subtle.
Right.
Like snide remarks
mm-hmm.
or being excluded from things.
Okay.
Or it can be extreme, you know, like what some Christians face in other parts of the world.
Right, right.
But what I found so thought-provoking was his idea that the most painful persecution often comes from within the church itself.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he talked about how people who cling to rules and traditions can create a hostile environment for those who are genuinely trying to live out Jesus's teachings.
Huh.
Does that resonate with you at all in your own experience?
You know, it definitely makes you think about how we treat each other,
yeah,
even within the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to fall into judging and criticizing,
right,
even when we think we're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how does this all tie back to the idea of persecution being a blessing?
Right.
Because let's be honest.
Yeah.
It doesn't exactly feel like a gift when it's happening.
Right. And the lecturer acknowledges that head on.
Okay.
He shared a really personal story about breaking down while teaching Romans 5.
Wow.
After losing his daughter.
Oh.
The very chapter that talks about rejoicing and suffering.
Yeah. Talk about a heavy moment.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's gone through loss knows that the last thing you feel like doing is rejoicing.
Absolutely. But I think his vulnerability in sharing that story
yeah.
really underscores his point.
Okay.
He's not saying we should enjoy suffering.
Right.
But that it can reveal something deeper.
Hmm.
It can be a sign that we are on the right track.
Okay.
That we're truly following Jesus.
Yeah.
He talked about how it connects us to the long line of believers throughout history who have faced opposition for their faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we become part of something bigger than ourselves.
And he brought up John Piper,
yeah.
who once said he's convinced the church is going to hell.
Right. Strong statement.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how did the lecturer connect that to this whole idea?
Well, he used that quote to highlight how Piper's passion for the church,
okay,
even when expressed in such a provocative way,
yeah,
stems from a deep love and a desire to see it truly reflect Jesus.
Right.
But that kind of intense conviction can lead to friction,
right,
even persecution,
right. Yeah.
Especially when it challenges the status quo.
So even someone as well-known and respected as John Piper isn't immune to pushback.
That's right.
And the lecturer shared how Piper himself faced opposition within his own church, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He used that story to illustrate how persecution can come from unexpected places.
Right.
Even from people who share our faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the point he seemed to be making is that it's in those moments where we're willing to stand up for what we believe in.
Yeah.
Even when it's difficult.
Right.
That we experience the most profound blessings.
Okay.
It deepens yep. our faith. Strengthens our resolve and ultimately draws us closer to Christ.
It's, yeah.
It's like the pressure creates a diamond, you know?
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So we've established that persecution, while not exactly a picnic,
right.
can actually be a sign of authentic faith,
yeah.
a way of experiencing deeper blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm really curious about those metaphors of salt and light.
Yeah.
How does the lecturer bridge those concepts to the Beatitudes.
Okay.
Especially this whole idea of persecution. So we've got this whole idea that persecution, even when it's tough, can actually be a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
But then the lecturer brings up these metaphors of salt and light.
Right.
It's like, what do those even mean in this context? How did the lecturer tie all of that together?
Well, he argues that the metaphors of salt and light actually flow directly from the Beatitudes.
Okay.
And particularly from this whole idea of persecution.
Okay.
He suggests that these metaphors are a call to action for Christians,
mm-hmm.
urging us to engage with the world.
Okay.
Even when we face opposition.
So it's not about hiding our faith or trying to blend in to avoid conflict.
Not at all.
Okay.
In fact, he told this really compelling story about his own struggle with this temptation.
Okay.
When he and his wife first visited Nepal.
Okay.
They were absolutely overwhelmed by the poverty and the cultural differences.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They were so shaken that they almost left after only 3 days.
Wow. Yeah,
that's intense. It's one thing to see poverty on TV. But to actually experience it firsthand,
yeah,
must be incredibly challenging.
Absolutely.
But then they got a message from a friend,
okay,
who had spent years working in Ethiopia.
Okay.
And his advice was so simple.
Okay.
He just said, "It's the third day. Do not disengage."
Wow.
And I think for the lecturer,
yeah,
that was a powerful reminder
mm-hmm.
that as Christians,
right,
we're called to remain present in the world.
Yeah.
Even when it's difficult, even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. So rather than retreating or trying to isolate ourselves, we're supposed to lean in to be present in those tough situations.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So let's unpack these metaphors a little bit,
okay.
Starting with salt.
All right.
What kind of interpretations did he offer for that one?
Well, he explored several, you know,
okay.
including its use as a purifier mm-hmm. and as a preservative.
Yeah.
But what he really emphasized was this salt, to be effective,
right.
has to be distinct from its surroundings.
Right.
If it loses its saltiness,
mm-hmm.
it becomes useless.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
And he even brought up that historical example of the Romans salting the earth after defeating Carthage, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Powerful image.
So how does that relate to us being salt of the earth?
Well, he suggested that if the church becomes too much like the world.
Right.
If we lose our distinctiveness, our saltiness,
mm-hmm.
then we also lose our ability to influence society for good.
Okay.
We become like diluted salt, ineffective and pointless.
Right, yeah.
And he actually even cited some research from the Barna Group.
Oh. Yeah.
That showed how the hopes and dreams of evangelical Christians
right.
are becoming increasingly similar to those of non-Christians.
Yeah, he talked about how both groups are putting more emphasis on things like financial success and personal happiness
mm-hmm.
rather than on spiritual growth or serving others.
Yes.
It's like those core values are getting lost in the shuffle.
Exactly. And he used that research to suggest that the church in America
might be losing its saltiness, blending in too much with the surrounding culture.
Mm.
It's like we're becoming part of the problem instead of the solution.
Yeah. He also shared that funny anecdote about the lady with all the Jesus stickers on her car.
Yes.
Who was driving so erratically.
That's right.
That people thought she'd stolen it.
Yeah. It was a humorous way to illustrate how our actions
right.
Even with good intentions.
Yeah.
Can sometimes contradict the message we're trying to convey.
Right.
It's like we need to make sure our saltiness is actually flavored with grace and truth,
mm-hmm.
not just outward appearances.
So it's not just about being different for the sake of being different.
Right.
It's about reflecting Christ in a way that makes a positive impact.
Exactly.
That actually preserves and purifies.
Mm-hmm.
That leads us to the second metaphor. Light.
Okay.
What are your initial thoughts on that one?
Hmm.
What comes to mind when you hear you are the light of the world?
Well, I think of it as a call to shine brightly.
To stand out in a world that's often dark and confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by all the negativity and darkness out there.
Right.
It's like, how can my little light possibly make a difference?
It can, can't it?
It really can.
Like one tiny candle in a vast darkness?
Yeah.
But what did the lecturer say about how we can actually live out this metaphor of light,
mm-hmm.
especially when we feel so surrounded by negativity?
Well, he emphasized that Jesus is the ultimate source of light.
Right.
And that we're called to reflect his light
mm-hmm.
in the world.
Okay.
And he used a couple of powerful images.
Okay.
A city on a hill and a lamp on a stand
yeah.
to highlight the visibility
mm-hmm.
and purpose of our lives as Christians.
Yeah, those images really stick with you.
They do.
You can't hide a city on top of a mountain.
Right.
It's meant to be seen from miles around.
Exactly, and that's how the lecturer sees Christians
okay.
as beacons of light,
mm-hmm.
meant to stand out and illuminate the darkness around us.
But how do we do that in a practical sense?
Right.
You know, it's one thing to say, be the light,
mm.
but it's another thing entirely to actually live that out.
Yeah.
Day after day.
He suggested that by living in accordance with Jesus's teachings,
okay.
our lives should shine brightly enough
mm-hmm.
to draw others to the source of that light.
Okay.
God himself.
And he shared a personal story about how he and his wife made a decision to die exhausted in service to the Lord.
That's right.
Wow. That's quite a commitment.
It is.
Like they're saying, we're going to pour everything we have into living for God,
yeah.
holding nothing back.
Right. It's a challenging but inspiring example of what it means to truly embrace this calling
mm-hmm.
as salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
He reminded us that this life is a gift.
Right.
And that we have a responsibility to use it wisely
mm-hmm.
to make a difference, to leave the world better than we found it.
So it's not just about words.
No.
It's about action. Putting our faith into practice in tangible ways that bring hope and healing to a broken world.
Absolutely. It's about being willing to be different.
Yeah.
To stand out and to let our light shine brightly,
mm-hmm.
even when we face opposition.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think that's how we reflect the heart of Jesus, who came to bring light to the darkness
mm-hmm.
and offer hope to a hurting world.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From persecution as a blessing to the metaphors of salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a whirlwind of challenging and inspiring ideas.
It has.
What would you say is the one key takeaway you want listeners to really chew on?
If we're called to be both salt and light, to be distinct from the world while also engaging with it,
mm-hmm.
how do we navigate that tension? How do we maintain our unique identity as Christians
right.
while still building bridges and showing love to those who are different from us?
Mm.
It's a delicate balance, but it's in that tension that we discover the true power and beauty of the gospel.
That's such a great point to ponder.
Yeah.
It's not about isolating ourselves or compromising our beliefs.
Right.
But finding that sweet spot
mm-hmm.
where we can be a force for good in the world without losing our saltiness
yeah.
or dimming our light.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We hope it sparked some new insights
mm-hmm.
and challenged you to think differently about your own role as salt and light.
Yes.
Until next time, keep diving deep.